Someone who has been incredibly supportive of this is Valdis Junas. He is co-chair of the Formula E Advocacy Group for Adelaide. Valdis, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Sonia.
You've been supporting this for some time. First of all, if you can, explain what sort of role it has in the rest of the world. How much support is there for Formula E around the world?
Yes, so it's quite a new race series. So if people haven't heard of it, it's not a surprise. It's only been in its sixth year. But in those 6 years, it's already had TV audiences up to now for the last year, 411 million viewers. It grew 24% in just 1 year. And then when you look at beyond TV viewership online, it's up to 850 million. So the numbers are already big despite just being 6 years in the event space.
I noticed that some Formula One drivers are keen to put up their hand to get into this kind of racing. So what kind of speeds does Formula E get up to? Because for those who are fans, it's all about the speed and the skill, is it not?
That's right. So the cars look very similar to Formula One cars. They can get up to 300 kilometres an hour, theoretically. But the way Formula E does it, it tries to not just have a fun event, but also update and educate the community about the benefit of electric vehicles. So they have the races smack bang in the middle of a city. So in Paris, it's next to the Eiffel Tower. In Hong Kong, it's on the harbourfront. In Adelaide, we're looking at doing it around Adelaide Oval, North Terrace, Curry Street. And when you have a city circuit, you have a lot of corners. So you never hit the top speeds, but you have a lot of fast acceleration, braking acceleration. So it's still a very fast event.
So for those who love their motorsport and not just the idea of an environmentally friendly race, this ticks all the boxes, does it?
It does. And it is a very exciting race for racing enthusiasts. And actually, it's introducing a lot of new technology where you can do fan boost, you can do turbo charging. And as a result of that, the biggest audiences for Formula E is not the Formula One type of crowd, which is in their 40s, but the biggest demographic that watches is 18-24. So it's actually the next generation that's really capturing this and enjoying it.
Is there a lot of support for this here in South Australia?
Yes, we've been working on it for about 4 years, so we've been steadily building up on it, and we've had various people back at it and organisations. And one key thing we're working on too is, like it's happened in Hong Kong, Seoul and New York and other cities, is we think it can be mostly privately funded by the companies that can see a lot of benefits in switching over electric vehicles. So it's the power companies, the telecom companies. So our most famous person I think most people know is Sanjeev Gupta, because he's very much into clean energy, and he's also looking to build electric vehicles. And we've had support from the Adelaide City Council. They unanimously passed a resolution saying it's a great thing for the city last year. Most recently, we had Martin Hazy and Business Say come out in support of it. Steve Maris, Sam Shaheen. So the momentum is building.
I guess the next question, though, then, is if we can't make place in the city for an established event like the Adelaide 500, if that decision has come to it, what would it be about an EVE or a Formula E race that might get the go-ahead where this didn't?
Well, I think there's two clear differences. One is it's a brand new series, so it's electric rather than petrol. So a lot of the safety issues that you have with traditional petrol races don't apply. So the barriers, the setup is not as complicated. So in all of the cities where Formula E is hosted, you're in and out in 11 days. It's a bit like a rock concert, so you don't have to be there months setting up a lot of complicated infrastructure.
Because this is one of the challenges, wasn't it? I think one of the decisions for getting rid of the Adelaide 500 was the setup costs, the COVID-related costs weighed against the numbers that have been declining.
Yeah, and so, yeah, Formula E is in and out typically in 11 days. You close the roads just for 2 days. So it's a different style of racing. The other thing is the audiences are just so big, like we talked about, 411 million for Formula E, which is almost like with Formula One, which is at 490. And then when you actually come down to physical viewers, for instance, Zurich put on the Formula E races. In their first year, they got 150,000 people turning up. So the numbers can be very big, and if it's growing 24% a year, the potential is good.
I'm talking with Valdis Junas, co-chair of Formula E Advocacy Group for Adelaide. We're talking with him because asking the question, do you think this is a viable alternative to Adelaide 500, which we know in the last 24 hours has been canned by our state government. It will not go ahead, not only next year due to COVID, but the viability of it has been decided against, and we have cancelled our contract with the Supercars series. But you mentioned the growing support for Formula E, and that one of those who came out for this, in favour of this, was Business SA's Chief Executive Officer, Martin Hasey, who joins me now. Martin, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Sonia. Thanks for having me on the program.
Firstly, the Adelaide 500 loss, do you think it will be felt significantly in Adelaide?
Oh, I certainly do. I mean, the Adelaide 500 is a major event on the annual calendar. And at a time, Sonia, where the city of Adelaide in particular, economically, has really felt the impacts of COVID-19. So the multiples of kind of hospitality operators, accommodation providers, restaurants, cafes, taxi drivers, Uber drivers, you name it, will really feel the impact of the loss of a major event on the annual calendar in Adelaide.
It is generally around when Fringe and Festival is on. Do you think maybe that has either hidden, or will we still potentially have all that benefit just without the extra hassle, as some would argue?
I think any major event on the calendar, I mean, the South Australian government has been operating what I would describe as a clustering strategy, whereby the Adelaide 500 and, of course, the Adelaide Fringe and other major events around that February-March period are clustered into a couple of months in the year. So what we've been advocating for is a nine-point plan for economic recovery. And I was just listening to Mr. Dounis online, is that one of the 9 points in our advocacy to the Premier and to the state government in recent weeks has actually been to look at this Formula E event. We don't purport to be experts in it, but we do basically purport to be experts in economic development and supporting small business. And that's exactly what we need to do right now. And the City of Adelaide needs a major event. So this might be an opportunity to reinvent.
What do you think it is about Formula E that would set it apart from the issues associated with the Adelaide 500 that meant it was not viable in the government's eyes?
It sits to very strategically, it plays to South Australia's strengths. So South Australia is now the global leader in renewable energy. Formula E is all about renewable energy. So there's a very good match there. Also, with the advent of Lot 14 and cyber technology and advanced technologies, machine learning, many things like that, these are all growing endeavours in South Australia. So Formula E is also very much about technology. We're also very good at major events, Sonia. So we've got a great track record as a state in terms of managing and leading major events. And the Formula E, as I was listening to Mr. Dounis was saying, I mean, it's almost got the television viewership of Formula One, and it grew at 24% last year alone. So it kind of makes economic sense to get in at the ground floor and actually swim with the stream with an event that's going to grow. And I think the demographics are very favourable for further growth.
Martin Hasey, how quickly do you think we could act on this? I mean, what's your understanding of whether this is being discussed other than out of curiosity?
There are two parts to this. So I do understand that in 2019, the state government worked with the Formula E group on what's called a feasibility study, which I think is more about seeking some comfort that the track conditions, et cetera, would be amenable to a Formula E event. Now, Business SA is really encouraging the government to release that. But the other part is what we're calling for is actually is a economic impact statement. So like everything, when taxpayers' funds are being used, we need to be able to demonstrate a return on that investment, so to speak. So Business SA, on behalf of all businesses in South Australia, would encourage the government to take that next step to commission a economic impact statement so the government can make a really informed view about whether this is the most appropriate use of taxpayers' funds, what the return on investment could be, and we would suggest that would be in all probability in the tens of millions, but it needs to be quantified by the experts. So that's the logical next step in principle, we think it's a good idea, but we'd like to see the numbers too.
Martin Hayes, Chief Executive Officer of Business SA, thank you for your time. Just going back quickly to Valdis Dounas, Co-Chair of Formula E Advocacy Group. Valdis, when it comes to the noise, I'm being asked on the text line, do they race with the same level of noise that your standard V8s do?
No, it is a quieter race. So it's a bit like the Teslas you see on the street. They're very quiet. They do have a noise when they're racing. So the sound that people typically make to describe them, it's a bit like the Star Wars when you have those fighter ships rushing out, you know, type of sound. So it has a noise, but it's definitely not a petrol noise. And that's actually one of the benefits people find is that you can host the race, you can do nighttime races, and you don't affect the community with the noise.
There are a lot of people who would love to see electric cars racing, and among them, someone who's been talking about it for a while, a backer of Formula E here in Adelaide, is Simon Hackett, the founder of Internode. Hello to you.
Hello, Sonia. Lovely to see you again.
It's nice to see you too. This has been one of your... not hobby horses, because that sounds like a negative thing, but one of your pastimes, your favourite pastimes, is the whole electric car industry.
Thing, it absolutely is. Yeah, yeah. I've been involved with electric cars for ever since, believe it or not, the mid-90s, when some friends in California let me drive a GM EV1, which was an electric car that existed in that era, and I was hooked, Sonia.
Okay.
And I immediately thought, I must find a way to own one of these in Australia.
Now, you would know, because of your association for that long, that those who love cars often see electric vehicles as their nemesis, in the sense that they just don't give them the grunt or the thing that they love about cars. And you've
right.
often tried to change that.
Yeah, and it's a common initial perception that you think that a car can't be, you know, grunty or high performance or a racing car if it doesn't make an enormous noise. And I must say, as a now long-term owner of electric cars, you get over that really quickly and you get to look at all of those noisy cars in the rear vision mirror quite a lot.
So you say that the performance or speed is superior.
Oh, absolutely. I must say, for me, one of the missed opportunities is I wish Formula E had managed to be attached to the back of the 500 event, because it would have been so simple to clip it on the back of it with all that infrastructure already there to show people just how fast these things are. You know, the car I drive every day, the car I drove here in, is the fastest 0 to 100 car that exists on the road, and it's electric. Of course it's electric. That's where the performance is.
Has that changed a lot? I mean, if you perhaps were looking into this earlier in the piece, would you perhaps have an outdated view of the way electric cars are now?
Yeah, you might do. And also there's this strange kind of ochre thing about cars aren't proper cars unless they're you know, big noisy cars. And it is just a kind of a shift in your mind that is best undertaken by trying driving one, right? So I've always tried to get people into electric cars to experience them. They're different. They've got a different sort of grunt. They're just relentless. It's like the relentless push of a hydraulic amusement park ride. It's a different thing. And they're not spending all that energy making loud noise. They're spending it just driving the wheels hard. They're incredibly good.
Okay, so there's one thing about using it on an everyday basis. Formula E, have you seen it in real life?
No, I haven't seen it in real life. I've certainly seen it on various streaming things. It's not silent. It is, as Valdis said, it's a different sort of noise. It sounds much more like the future than the past for me. It's not silent. One of the things about cars is when you're driving them that hard, the sound of the rubber on the road, literally screaming for adhesion because it's being driven so hard. It's a different thing. There's some getting used to it involved, but it's a great thing to watch and it's interesting. And as was said earlier, because it's quieter, you can run those events in more interesting places or in different times of the day without causing so much kind of amenity loss for people that don't want to go to the race.
Valdis was suggesting that it wouldn't have the logistical obstructions of the course being set up for over a long period of time. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. It needs a lot less support because it doesn't need much more than a bit of electricity. Also, I think there's a real merit in my mind in trying to get some sort of demonstration of that happening here, not necessarily even a full Formula E event. It'd be great to get some Formula E cars out as a demonstration, you know, somewhere in the city, let's say at the end of the World Solar Challenge, you know, something that might already be bringing people in who are mindful of electric transport more than petrol transport.
Mm. One of the barriers it was suggested to us by one of our callers was you need a hell of a lot of electricity. How are you going to get that charging up 20 cars all at once?
No, you don't.
That's not a problem?
No, it's not. because we've got this great thing that stores a hell of a lot of electricity, Sonia. It's called a battery.
Well, I suggested that.
So it's actually, yeah, you just, it's, you can literally haul shipping container-sized batteries in and drop them down beside the event and store energy in those if you don't have enough power coming off the grid to do it. I'd be surprised if you don't. But yeah, that sort of thing's easy to solve.
I'm guessing you wouldn't want a twilight event, though. No?
No, I wouldn't.
Because wouldn't you be generating it solar with solar? No?
No, again, the point is that, that you can generate it any time you like, but again, there's this marvellous invention called the battery.
Because you can store it.
That lets you time shift electricity. And as soon as you add that, then you can use the solar any time you like. So, no, batteries actually solve it. Batteries are the moral equivalent of a petrol tank here, and they work just as well.
So can you see anything that would stop a Formula E event in South Australia?
Lack of imagination, perhaps. That might stop it. It would be great to see some bravery about deciding that this is where the future is, not the past. Here's the thing, Sonia. We are the state in the world with the most incredible track record on rooftop solar. We have the largest battery in the world plugged into the grid here. If there's not a great place to run an electric car event, and if there's not a better place than South Australia, I can't think where it is.
Simon, when it comes to this argument, we've got people who are completely against it, who are completely for it, and then others in the middle who say, well, I don't care, but why don't they put them at Tail and Bend? What's the benefit of having it here in Adelaide, or does it matter to you?
It matters less to me. I think it matters to me that it happens in South Australia. Formula E positioned itself early on as a street circuit event, I think to try to produce a point of difference, because street circuits are relatively rare. Adelaide's distinguished by having one or having had one. But personally, I'd be perfectly happy to see it run at Tail and Bend, see it run anywhere. It's about exposure, Sonia, I think. It's about showing people the future so that they can't decry it, at least without personal knowledge of what it looks like.
Simon Hackett, always good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
Long-time proponent of electric vehicles and, as you can hear, a Formula E fan as well.